This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, April 4th, 2022. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air on the memorial of St. Isidore, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's good to be with you on this Monday morning in the fifth week of Lent. I hope you had a good weekend. You basketball fans enjoyed a great and absolutely historic Final Four, an epic Saturday night in New Orleans with Kansas rolling past Villanova 81-61 and North Carolina knocking off Duke 81-77 to end Coach K's legendary 42-year career as heard on TBS Sports.
Grayson, pull up three, no good, rebound Carolina, and the fairy tale ride for the Tar Heels continues. And Coach K's legendary career has come to a close.
And tonight in the New Orleans Superdome, number 8 seed North Carolina takes on the number 1 seed Kansas for the national championship. Jayhawks have won 5 national titles overall, and the Tar Heels have won 7. Now, last night on the women's side, South Carolina defeated UConn 64-49 to win the women's national championship. I want to bring in our Glenn Leverance. Glenn, are you excited about tonight's game?
Going to be a good one. Going to be a good one. North Carolina is tough. Duke just, couldn't get it going enough there on Saturday night, wrapping up a fabulous career, of course, with Coach K. So, I don't know. I'm picking Carolina tonight, I think.
I think a lot of folks are picking Carolina. Michael Jordan's old school. I heard the Carolina coach say he wished Jordan was still playing for Carolina as a joke, of course. But it'll be a great matchup there. The underdog, obviously, at number eight seed, the Jayhawks, the top seed, they're probably playing the best basketball. What a fabulous game the other night, though, with Coach K and Duke. All those lead changes. There must have been about 20 lead changes in that game.
Yeah, it was really down to the wire, and lots of respect in the building for Coach K through all of that, too, I think.
Absolutely. We'll hear a little bit from Coach K coming up next hour. Now, it's hard to believe that today is already day 40 of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. What is the latest going on this hour, Glenn?
Well, John, it seems that the dynamic on the ground is changing a little bit. Russian troops in the last few days are withdrawing from north of Kyiv and basically resetting the plan to hit harder in the east in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions and also along the coast as well. Mariupol still getting bombarded. 100,000 civilians still trying to escape that town as well. Bombing is intensified over the weekend in Odessa, another important port city further to the west as well, as Russia would like to cut off the entire Black Sea coastline access from Ukraine. Some of the atrocities being sound, war crimes being seen as these towns being liberated north of Kyiv, and Russia saying, hey, that's we didn't do that, but, it's, I think, more than obvious that was the case. The leader of France, Prime Minister or President Macron, rather, wants all Russian exports blocked in terms of energy. And some European countries still kind of dragging their heels on that a little bit. But we'll see what happens. And as far as negotiations, including a video visit to the Grammys last night, President Zelensky of Ukraine willing to meet face to face with Vladimir Putin to try and get some kind of ceasefire.
Yeah, the Grammys took center stage last night, but it was President Zelensky who really made quite an impression.
I mean, he'll be maybe more memorable than some of the artists that some of us older folks haven't heard of before.
Absolutely. As always, if anything breaks here during this next hour, please let us know, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
Thanks again. On Mondays, we always remember to pray for the souls in purgatory, especially those of our relatives and our loved ones. And we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia, asking our Lord through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, we're in the fifth week of Lent. If you haven't signed up for Father Rocky's new super-duper Lenten Lessons on the Mass, it's still not too late. You can still do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. Today's lesson, Father Rocky explains the use of the bells in Mass. He reminds us, hey, who doesn't love bells? So get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. Sign up at relevantradio.com/Lent. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 8:12. Jesus the Lord says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Our Lord Jesus Christ enlightens the world with the truth. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. He is the great I am in the flesh, the true light of the world. His light shines in the darkness, but darkness and evil cannot quench the light of his love. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father, as our Lord teaches us. We always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now I want to switch gears and talk about financial matters. There's so much fear and uncertainty in the world with war raging in Ukraine and the record high inflation numbers here at home. At the same time, there's some interesting investment ideas that we have uncovered that anyone can own in their IRA or 401k. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Joining us now for more is our financial expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Bill Ulivieri, to tell us about five interesting investment ideas in Eastern Europe. Bill is the owner of Senecal Capital Management. Senecal is bridging the gap between traditional investing and digital assets. Good morning, Bill. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again on another Monday morning.
Good morning. Good morning, John and Glenn. How are you guys today?
Doing well. Counting the blessings, as always.
Well, listen, I've got to be honest with you. I'm sitting here on hold waiting to talk about interesting investment ideas in Eastern Europe. And Glenn gives us the news report about all the things that are happening in this humanitarian crisis. So I don't need to downplay that one bit, okay? Not iota. But at the same time, part of what it means to be an investment advisor is you've got to look at all opportunities across the globe. You have to look and you have to discern, right? And so I'm seeing a contradiction, and I talk about that all the time, this contradiction between what's really happening in what we hear on the news and on the radio and in financial, you know, news media. And so I think part of being, you know, being in this business for 40 years, I get super, super highly suspicious about when I get this contradiction in information. And so right now, the Russian stock market index is up 47.5% from the low that it's made on March 24th. So from an investment standpoint, I think what this tells me is that the market seems to be pricing in peace and some kind of return to normalcy. And I'm not saying that it's not risky. I'm just saying that it's interesting. Like I have to, the market suggests that things are going to get better probably sooner rather than later. And so I went to my database and I found 51 mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, closed-end funds, like all these things relating to Russia and Central and Eastern Europe. And I just want to bring them to the table because you know, I remember back in 1980 or 1979 when we had sanctions against South Africa, and it was a big political movement to divest of South African investments because of apartheid. And I remember people selling the African, the 1 ounce coin, right? The African token, African gold coin, was selling it below like the Canadian maple leaf. So it didn't make sense to me because it was the same piece of gold, but because it had the name South Africa on it, you know, it went for substantially less than the maple leaf gold coin. And so we see that over history where sometimes it's politically incorrect, or maybe it's a, you know, there's sanctions that make, you know, things, you know, investors sell off. And so the word I want to bring is capitulation. This is what investment advisors always look for. And this is capitulation, which is by definition a surrendering or ceasing to resist an opponent or demand. So I look for capitulation in prices, and we've had them in Russia and Eastern Europe. So right now, many Russian securities are completely restricted from ownership by U.S. investors. You're only able to potentially even liquidate what you have. You can't buy anymore. You know, you can't buy any mutual funds. You can't buy exchange-traded funds. You can't own stocks in Russia, but we have to prepare. But there are a couple of things that are interesting that I would like investors just to consider looking at. Because you know what? The wealthy people, professionals, always find ways to skirt the loopholes. They always find ways to skirt sanctions. And while, you know, the sanctions are specifically designed to hurt the oligarchy and the elites who rule in Russia, but the truth is, you really think that if you're an elite, you didn't know about this like a few years ago? You didn't think you had a chance of moving your wealth out of Russia before this invasion? You know, sanctions seem to hurt the regular middle class, right? It's the people who are just, you know, showing up at their jobs who are suffering substantially. And even despite what you believe about what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, and again, I'm not trying to downplay any of the violence that's going on, but the church also has to go out and reach with our prayers to people who are in Russia. Because, hey, you know, it's not people who start war. It's like the politicians. And if you were a middle-class family, if you were a middle-class widow, I mean, your $1 ruble is now worth like a penny. Your $2,000 a month pension that you were getting by, your Social Security, is now worth about $20 a month. So I want to just reframe the conversation a little bit, because I think it's only fair that we look at all sides of this. And so what I found is I found 51 investments that were perfectly fine for U.S. investors to own like, you know, 24 days ago. But now today you can't. And so someday this is going to peel off. We will have peace. The sanctions will come off. And I want investors to be able to look around and say, hey, there might be some opportunities here for our investment portfolios, maybe 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%. Because remember in the old days, John, we had something called PIGS. PIGS was an acronym for Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. And before that, we had something called BRIC. The BRIC investment was Brazil, Russia, India, and China. And so the BRIC investments have been looking horrible since about 2014 or 2015. And we've had capitulation in the BRIC investments. And I don't know. I just want to throw it out there for conversation, because I think there's an opportunity for us to you know, make a good rate of return on a small portion of our portfolio. And again, of those 51 BRIC investments, of those 51 Russian investments, there's going to be a time, I think, in the very near future where it's going to be okay and those sanctions are going to be lifted. And I want us to be ready for that, because it's going to, I think, make a great, you know, 2 to 5 or 10 year investment for people who have a longer time horizon.
Bill, before you mention some of these 51 funds, what about from a moral perspective? What comes to mind when you think of it in terms of, is it okay morally? Obviously, financially, it might be a good move, but from a moral Catholic perspective, putting our funds, you know, with Russia at this time during this incredibly immoral war that's going on.
Yeah. You know, John, I struggle with that because I spent the entire weekend looking up what the just war principle was for the Catholic Church. I went to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops looking for investment principles. I have them all here on my laptop. There was 10 investment guidelines from the USCCB. And I couldn't find anything that specifically says that it would be immoral to make an investment in Eastern Europe. I just couldn't find anything. And so this is, a great conversation for theologians, right? And I'll tell you this, I remember in 2008 when we had a pro-choice president coming in, I know people that didn't invest in the market because they didn't want to invest with strictly a pro-choice the president, and like that's okay. Like I'm a one issue kind of person too when I vote, but I can't be in 100% cash in one of the greatest stock market rallies that ever happened from 2008 until 2016. I mean, we on one hand we have to. This is really a tight wad. This is a tightrope, John. I am telling you, because on one hand we have to participate in the economy. We have to invest. We have to do these things that and be good stewards of God's money. At the same time, we have to use some common sense. And we do have to let the church's teachings guide us in our decisions. And again, I'm not saying that I am pro-Russia here, okay? I'm just saying that there are opportunities here, and whether Joe Biden's executive order is listed or not, does that mean we never invest in Russia? I don't get to do Russian twists as part of my exercise program. You know, when I was at my gymnasium the other day, they didn't want to call it a Russian twist, which is like an ab exercise, out of respect for Russia. And I thought, yeah, I kind of get it, but it's also insane all at the same time. Like, where do we draw the line? You know, we don't eat French fries during, after the 9/11 crisis, or we don't drink French champagne or wine, or like, I don't know, John. This is a tough part about, is it truly a immoral, unethical sin to invest in Eastern Europe because of what happened, 40 days ago? Or is it just going to be okay because the president lifts sanctions? Is there ever going to be a time when we get to... Remember John Paul II in the 1980s, perestroika and glasnost, and our hearts were with the people of Russia? And, you know what, I'm just saying I don't know. I'm just saying that I find opportunity there. And let the listener decide when it's okay to invest there. I'm just saying that what was okay 24 days ago is not okay today. You know, maybe the older I get, John, I just get more of a curmudgeon, and I just get more suspicious of what I hear and read on the news. And I just wonder if we're getting the whole story, because the wealthy and elites are always going to be wealthy and elites. And I'm telling you, they're buying this. They're buying this opportunity. There's other countries who are buying these stocks that are down 80, 90, 70% from their high a few weeks ago. I don't know. I just think it's interesting conversation to have.
It is an interesting conversation, Bill. And, if I may play the devil's advocate, obviously you can't believe all the propaganda that's coming at us from both sides, from the Ukrainian perspective and from the Russian perspective. But there are certain things that don't lie. And the images that we saw, for example, yesterday alone of bodies on the side of the road just outside the capital of Ukraine, of Kyiv, people, bounded, shot in the head. I mean, these are atrocities against humanity that our Holy Father yesterday, lamented. He called it a sacrilegious war in Ukraine as he played the Angelus in Malta on his trip to Malta yesterday. So I think that, maybe we do need to defer to theologians to see morally at this time. Obviously, situations have a way of changing. You know, 6 months from now, if this war were to come to an end, then it's a whole different ballgame. But I think a lot of folks might have a hard time putting their money in anything that might help the current atrocities that are going on from the Russian leadership perspective. Obviously, Vladimir Putin is calling the shots, and his generals and the oligarchs are with him. And we're not talking about the regular folks, the regular people who are getting hurt, like you described. Yes. But so I think that we do need to defer to a moral theologian and a authentically Catholic perspective, because just because it's not in the catechism specifically about this particular situation doesn't mean that it's not something that we need to look at with the open heart.
I totally get it. But at the same time, we've had sanctions against Cuba, and everybody gets to go to Cuba and help out over there. And I'm a little bit jealous as someone who remembers the Cold War from the 50s. We have 25 different countries that we have sanctions against. And again, I went through all the exhibits of the USCCP Catholic Framework for Economic Life, and I understand what's going on. But again, we have to also ask ourselves, Listen, all I'm saying is there's a conversation I want to have. I think that that's my job as an advisor, is to advise people. And there is a wide spectrum of what it means to – I'm not saying that we have to invest in Russia, but we can invest in Eastern Europe. There's
oh,
some
yeah.
opportunities
that's
over
a
there.
Different, that's but a whole different equation.
Been hurt by what's going on. You know, we can invest in areas that might be, you know, in India, China. Like, there's like just a conversation they have. And let the people themselves decide where they are. Because on one hand – you know, we could talk about, you know, the United, like, you know, if a pharmaceutical company or my local drugstore sells, you know, condoms, or I can get a birth control pill filled at my local Walgreens or CVS, does that mean I don't get to go there to get the prescriptions for my son who has a fever? Like, this is super complicated, John. And all I'm saying is that
I'm with you. I agree.
It.
I agree that it's definitely, you know, complicated. But at the end of the day, I think that as Catholics, we have to have a moral perspective. We have to follow our conscience, and it has to be a properly formed conscience. And we have an authority. Yeah. That's why we have a magisterium and a catechism of the Catholic Church to guide us with guiding principles on things like you described, the just war.
Right. Well, listen, and again, in this report that I have, if anybody wants to call and, like last time, leave their phone number or message, and I can send it to them, like, one of them is the currency's euro dollar. Like, it seems to me that the euro dollar actually is gaining strength above, in contradiction to the noise that we hear. There's a way for people to sell the U.S. dollar and buy some European, you know, the Eastern euro dollar, which surprisingly is interesting. And again, when you own the BRIC, the Brazil, Russia, India, China ETFs, most of those Russian securities have been sold off and liquidated. And that's why they're down, you know, 70% from their high from a few years ago. So there's a way of investing in Russia without really being invested in Russia, because when the time is right and the sanctions are lifted, these BRIC funds should do well. So you're kind of in, but you're also kind of not. So this is the conversation I want people to have. I want people to have, if you're interested in that kind of opportunity. That's all I'm saying.
Bill, if our listeners want to hear more, how can they reach you?
Well, they can reach me by calling 847-686-4800 and just leave a message with a phone number or email address. That's 847-686-4800.
Excellent. Appreciate it. I always appreciate your perspective. You always bring a good financial perspective as well as a Catholic moral perspective. So it's a good give and take, good conversation this morning, Bill.
John, don't hate on me for talking about this.
No, not at all.
I want to have the conversation.
Hey, listen, conversation is good. We believe in free speech, and it's good to discuss ideas, even if you don't always agree.
Amen.
Thanks
Amen
so much.
That.
Appreciate it, Bill.
Thanks,
Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management. We need to take a break when Morning Air continues. Professor Annabelle Mosley will join us to talk about four saints here in the month of April, giving advice on how to pray without ceasing as we head down the stretch of Lent. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
Get connected to the conversation.
Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio
and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Good to be with you on this Monday morning. Can you believe we're already here in the fifth week of Lent? Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, I want to talk about the saints. They can teach us so much because they're the friends of God. If we follow their example, the saints can help us as we strive to become saints ourselves. There are four saints whom we celebrate during this month of April that offer very specific advice to help us do exactly that. Today you're going to meet an intellectual archbishop, a champion of teachers, a fiery preacher theologian, and a doctor of the church who can all offer beautiful and practical ways for you to fulfill that seemingly daunting directive of St. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. Joining us now is our regular regular contributor, Professor Annabelle Mosley, to discuss how the Saints of April show us how to pray without ceasing, as Scripture tells us to do. Annabelle is the author of Sacred Braille, The Rosary as a Masterpiece, and Our House of the Sacred Heart. She's a professor of theology, wife and mother, and the creator of the Bethany Plan, offering busy Catholics a Christ-centered way to find balance. You can visit BethanyPlan.com, where you can subscribe for her 33-day consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and discover how you can journey deeper in sacred beauty and belonging in Christ. Good morning, Professor Annabelle. Thanks so much for joining us once again here in the month of April.
Good morning, John. It's great to be with you.
Great to be with you, too. I want to start off talking about these saints. Let's begin with today's feast day that we are celebrating here on April 4th, St. Isidore, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. What should we know about St. Isidore?
He's so brilliant. He's actually called the last scholar of the ancient world. So he wrote really an encyclopedic work. It was called the Etymology, and it gathered information and just extracts, bits from many classical works of antiquity that actually would have been lost if it hadn't been for St. Isidore and all his hard work gathering all of this wisdom. So that's actually why he's the patron saint of the internet. He's the patron saint of computer users, students, and programmers as well.
That's awesome. So we can tap into St. Isidore for his help when we're roaming around the internet.
Yeah, it's good to have a saint to help us walk through, you know, the internet. And he's even credited, he's so brilliant that he's the one who invented the comma, the period, and the colon. So English teachers should really like St. Isidore too.
Wow, I did not know that. And also he was a Spanish saint, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. Archbishop of Seville for over 30 years. And he was really known, he was famous as being the most brilliant man of his time. So yes, he is actually a doctor of the church.
You know, all of the saints can teach us so much. What can we learn from St. Isidore?
Well, you know, just as you began the show with that directive to pray without ceasing, which Scripture tells us, and that can seem overwhelming until the saints help us break it down and we realize, actually, it is doable. So St. Isidore gives us such good advice. And the advice he gives us is how we can more effectively remain conscious of being in God's company throughout the day. This is a direct quote from St. Isidore, John. He says, "If a man wants to always be in God's company, he must pray regularly and read regularly. When we pray, we talk to God. When we read, God talks to us." So there you have the conversation.
That's a fantastic quote by St. Isidore. Can you break that down a little bit for us? Because, you know, we all need to do spiritual reading. And obviously, the Lord can speak to us in many different ways.
You know, an interesting thing is if we really wanted to get fancy, we could combine both with Lectio Divina, which is something I teach. Lectio Divina, of course, is praying Scripture, where you read it and you talk to God by finding that word or that phrase within the Scripture that really touches our hearts. And just what's fun about Lectio Divina is actually it's called You Hear with the Ear of Your Heart. And that's an ancient Catholic form going back to St. Benedict. But getting back to St. Isidore in this give and take, you know, a conversation is both talking and listening. And if we're saying to ourselves, well, how do I get closer to God? You can have that balance, right? So he's saying that by praying regularly, we talk to God. We tell him what's on our heart. We tell him what we're worried about. But when we read, whether it's the lives of the saints, whether it's, of course, Scripture is the main one. But all the spiritual classics like Story of a Soul, this is how God talks to us. And don't you find, John, when you read the right spiritual reading, God will give you that word that you need today to hear. You'll look at the readings of the day and you'll say, oh my goodness, this letter from Paul, St. Paul, it's speaking right to me.
It never ceases to amaze me how on any given day you meditate on a certain scripture and it just hits home. It's like you're supposed to read that scripture on this day and it applies in some mysterious way to one's life. In fact, you know, last night I was reading the writings of Sister Lucia on the Message of Fatima and before I went to bed. And instead of watching the Grammys, I'm reading Sister Lucia. And, you know, it's so moving and it's so inspirational. especially been interested recently on Sister Lucia because of the consecration of Pope Francis of Ukraine and Russia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she, her name means light. So she really does illuminate so much for us in terms of Our Lady of Fatima's message. But yeah, it's true, isn't it, John, that like without fail, you'll say, oh, it's as though the Holy Spirit just knew what to send me. So if we can be open to it, and even if we say, you know, when we pray the Divine Office in the church, the way every morning starts in the Divine Office is there's, you know, it's mixed, but they'll usually say, Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. And there's this sense of inviting, Lord, be with me when I read. And if we just do that, come Holy Spirit, even just say, come Holy Spirit, we will be led to what we need to read for the day.
That short little prayer, come Holy Spirit, come. We do it every morning faithfully at the top of the show. We never miss, always inviting the Holy Spirit to help us in whatever way we can here on the show. You know, I wanted to get real quick your thoughts before we move on to our next saint. What do you think of using the Jesus prayer, just the simple, you know, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner, as a way of praying all that? That's something you can say, you know, any time of the day.
Yes, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's a famous story in my family. My dad was actually having a terrible day at work. He had one of those days where everything was challenging him. There were family struggles and problems, and he had all the weight on his shoulders of how to fix it. And work was going crazy. And there was a big problem with the house where the roof fell in. Literally, everything was crashing on his shoulders. And he says he spent the entire train ride from Long Island to New York City just saying the Jesus prayer again and again and again. And he said by the end of the train ride, he finally felt the peace. And he not only that, but he had a couple of insights, you know, just insights. Okay, I know how I'm going to handle this or that. So I believe very strongly in the power of that simple prayer. And it's an aspiration, you know, which is the name for a very brief one-line prayer that really gets the job done well, goes right to the heart of things.
Absolutely. Along with Jesus, I trust in you, which is so short, but yet so powerful.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. Yes.
For sure. All right, let's move on to the next saint. Coming up on April 7th, we have Jean-Baptiste de La Salle.
Yes, I think he was definitely French. Just the name tips it off. And he founded the Institute of the Brothers of the Christian Schools. He's another very smart saint. I love to say, wow, if you're born in April, these saints are intellectual. There really is an intellectual bunch of saints, in particular in the month of April. So he's actually the patron saint of teachers. And he really understands the Saint Jean-Baptiste. He understands what it means to be busy and overworked. This wonderful man, by the time he was 21, both his parents had died, and he had six younger siblings. And even though he was in the seminary and working to be a priest, he still provided for the education and the guidance and the love and really raising those six younger kids. Meanwhile, he receives his doctorate. He starts opening new schools, and then ultimately he was responsible for training lay teachers. So when he would start a new school, a new Catholic school, and he would get teachers, they often wouldn't have a place to live. They would be kind of poor, brilliant and smart and ready to teach, but poor. And so he opened his own home. He opened his own house and gave them a home. So hardworking, brilliant, and really what a heart he has for teachers and for students.
And what can we learn from Saint Jean-Baptiste?
Sure. Well, when we're busy at work, and you know that moment when someone asks you for your advice or in the middle of a busy moment, and someone says, hey, what do I do about this? Saint Jean-Baptiste says this. He says, when my brothers come to me for advice, I will ask our Lord himself to give it to them. If the matter is serious, I'll take a moment to pray about it then and there. At least I will try to keep myself recollected during the interview while lifting my heart to God. So it's a good reminder when someone's asking our advice to just do that quick, come Holy Spirit.
We can learn so much from all of these saints. That's what we're talking about here this morning. We're focusing on four saints here in the month of April. If you want to be part of the conversation, we can take your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Coming up in a moment, we're going to be talking about St. Louis de Montfort, a famous Marian saint, as well as the great St. Catherine of Siena. So if you have a devotion to any of these saints from the month of April, do give us a call as we continue our conversation with Professor of Theology and author Annabelle Mosley. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Absolutely love that hymn, 888-914-9149 for all the saints. 888-914-9149. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us this morning as we continue talking about four saints of April that give us advice on how we can pray without ceasing. And we're chatting this morning with Professor Annabelle Mosley, author, professor of theology, wife and mother, and the creator of the Bethany Plan. Professor, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. I love that hymn. That was beautiful.
How can that not touch your heart? I absolutely love that hymn. There's something to be said for sacred music. There's a reason why that music lifts our hearts up to heaven.
I'll say. It's so beautiful.
Well, we're going to talk about a saint that when I think of him, I think of Totus Tuus and St. John Paul II. And we're talking about St. Louis de Montfort, the great Marian saint that we celebrate on April 28th. Tell us about St. Louis de Montfort.
Oh, it's funny. When I think of him, he's very dear to my heart. He was actually the saint of my baptism because I was baptized at a church, St. Louis de Montfort. And I was born on the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. So, John, you can imagine how Rosarian I feel.
You were born on the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. I was born on Easter Sunday, if you can believe it.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible. Wow.
I was an Easter Sunday baby.
That's beautiful. Wow. That is incredible. So that's a double blessing for you.
Oh,
now,
yes.
Are there some years, John, that your birthday will fall still directly on Easter and then other years probably not, right?
Absolutely. In fact, it used to work out back when I was little. Every 11 years, it would fall on Easter Sunday. So, yes, I look at that as a blessing. And, you know, it's always a beautiful thing. And the nuns at Columbus Hospital told my mom I should have been called Pasquale, like Paschal, like the Paschal mystery.
Oh, cute. Yes, exactly.
But instead, I was John, or in Spanish, Juanito.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, and St. John stood by the cross, and he was there again for the resurrection. So that's perfect, too.
Exactly. St. Louis de Montfort, this man was on fire in his devotion for our Blessed Mother.
He was. He, you know, and this man, he worked so hard. He suffered humiliation. We all know that he, I think he's pretty famous, right, for spreading the love of Mary, devotion to the rosary. But a little less commonly known is that he once undertook this huge project. He gathered a huge group of peasants, I should say, and he asked them to all kind of come together to help him build a monument to Calvary in France. Apparently, it was beautiful. It replicated the crosses at Calvary. And they worked for 15 months without pay. It would have been this great work of art. And at the end, as soon as they were done, the king ordered that it be demolished.
Wow.
So literally the last day of this beautiful, I mean, it would be something that we'd all be journeying to visit now on pilgrimage, probably. And when he got the news, St. Louis de Montfort said, without hesitating, "Blessed be God." So kind of quoting Job, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And what a comfort that is, right? Especially for many people who work in the arts, who really pour themselves out, and in the sacred arts too. They want to do something beautiful for God. And it doesn't always take right away. They might face rejection. The publisher says no. The art gallery says not yet. Well, St. Louis de Montfort is someone for you too in that case. And he was just known for preaching, for converting many souls. He wrote True Devotion to Mary and The Secret of Mary. So one thing we can think about is it's April. It's St. Louis de Montfort's month. it might be a month to consider adding, you know, a rosary to each day with our family. Maybe pray a family rosary, or maybe join a rosary society in your parish. It's just something to think about.
Absolutely. And I know that the rosary is very dear to your heart. How influential was St. Louis de Montfort in getting you to write your book, The Rosary, a Sacred Braille?
So influential. You know, he was the saint of my baptism, and I sort of felt always a bond with him. I loved his writings, and I was inspired by him to want to also propagate the rosary. Like, what could I do to spread devotion to the rosary? And this all was kind of, as I was praying on this, many of my students were approaching me, and this is just one of those things. They were all coming up saying, "Professor, I love God. I love Mary. I struggle to pray the rosary faithfully. I really want to do it every day," they'd tell me, "but I kind of find it, well, a little repetitive, or a little bit like I'll fall asleep while I'm doing it. And I just want to be able to do it." And I thought they were so brave to admit that, to be honest, but to express the desire to love the rosary more. And that's why I wrote Sacred Braille, The Rosary as Masterpiece. You know, there's some among us, John, that already love the rosary, and there's some who find the rosary challenging. And this book is really for both people equally. And the idea is it makes the rosary come even more alive, showing the rosary to be truly a masterpiece. So actually, on every page of the book is full color art. And I call it Sacred Braille. It's a way to see the rosary as really what it is. It's something we can cling to, just like the blind can cling to Braille and read. They can read everything through the touch of Braille with no eyesight needed. The same thing with the rosary. We don't need to see. If we're in the middle of a dark night and we just cling to our rosary beads, we can feel comforted. You know, and if we're going through a metaphorical dark time in our life, it's the same thing. The rosary brings that light of faith.
I think of my mom in a nursing home, clutching to her rosary every night, praying it faithfully before she goes to bed. It's an example that I received from her to love the Blessed Mother. And I know how much you talk about Lectio Divina. The rosary is also been called the prayer of the gospel. We can meditate on the scriptural readings within the different mysteries, and it really can come to life if you do it that way.
It's the Bible on beads. It really is. I love the story.
I like that. The Bible on beads. That's awesome. Oh, yeah. I love it. Do I get permission to borrow that, Professor?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've heard that before. So you just take and run with it.
Bible on beads. I like that. For sure.
And, you know, you talk about your mom, John, and it reminds me of my family, too. It's amazing how the rosary can be a bond. I actually have a friend who, as his grandmother was dying, he was just a little boy, but she opened his hand and she lay her rosary right in his hand. She had no words. That was the last thing she did. She looked at him meaningfully, she nodded, and then she died. And you can imagine that he has a bond not only to Our Lady, but even to his grandmother interceding for him in heaven through those rosaries.
I do like American Express. I never leave home without my rosary. It's always in my pocket all times.
Awesome.
It's a habit I've been in for years. I can't even remember how long I've been doing this, but I know it's a weapon. I know it's the enemy does not like one having the rosary on your body at all times. So it's here with us. Before we run out of time, I want to touch base on St. Catherine of Siena, the great Third Order Dominican, Doctor of the Church that we celebrate on April 29th, my wife's favorite saint.
Oh, really? Is that so? She's a great one. You know, I love her too. Why does your wife love her?
She's a Third Order Dominican, so she has always loved St. Catherine of Siena. When we were on our honeymoon in Italy, we went and visited, her tomb, lots of devotion to St. Catherine of Siena.
You know, I had the same experience. I was in Siena, and there was the relic there of St. Catherine. And I was there on one of those art tours, you know, you go in and they're showing you all the great highlights. And they sort of mention it wasn't, you know, because it wasn't a Catholic tour. I was the Catholic on the tour. So they say, oh, and then there's the relic of St. Catherine. And now let's go over here and look at this art. And John, I couldn't walk away. I was kneeling down at that relic. I felt such a bond. She is a powerful saint, and she really will be there for you. You know, she's a friend. She's one of those saints like a Saint Therese of Lisieux, I think, who or Padre Pio, who when you sort of adopt her, she adopts you even more. She's known as one of the great doctors of the church. she's also a third order Dominican, right? Like your wife, she was a third order, not a sister, not a second order. So she didn't pray in a convent. She prayed within her own home, you know? And I never ceased to be inspired by that. She made her home her prayer cell. She made her home holy. So I think St. Catherine is an incredible inspiration for all of us to make a space within our own home for prayer, just like she did.
What's the one thing that you think we can learn from St. Catherine of Siena?
She has this quote, you know, and I think she teaches us this. She gives us wonderful advice on how to remain inspired and focused in prayer throughout our day, right? We go out into the world. We're certainly not always in a church or a chapel, as much as we might long to be. And we're not even always in our own home prayer space. How do we stay focused in prayer and pray without ceasing? Well, St. Catherine of Siena would say this. She'd say, build yourself a spiritual cell, which you can always take with you. And that is the cell of self-knowledge. And you will find there also the knowledge of God's goodness to you. So we build a prayer cell inside of our own soul. It's deep, but the more you think about it, it's really beautiful that we can become that, well, that living tabernacle for Jesus, really. And we can take a spiritual cell with us wherever we go. And it's an amazing thought.
Much like the Blessed Mother always leads us to her Son, the saints lead us to the Blessed Mother and to her Son. What can we take away here in the final days as we get ready for Holy Week and the Easter Triduum?
Well, there's so much in April already this month with the Triduum. It's going to be so deep. But I think if the saints that we just talked about, if we invoke their intercession to walk with us as we are about to walk on that Via Dolorosa, that way of the cross. Just like you said, I love how you said that the saints point to Our Lady and Jesus, just as Our Lady always points to Jesus. We want to accompany Mary on that way of the cross, and the saints can help us get closer to her as we do accompany her there.
That's a little St. Louis de Montfort, to Jesus through Mary, with Peter.
Yes.
There you go.
Beautiful.
To read the entire article, it's on altea.org. The Saints of April show us how to pray without ceasing by our very own Professor Annabel Mosley. Thanks so much, Professor. Always a joy to be with you.
Thanks, John. A joy to be with you.
Annabel Mosley, the creator of the Bethany Plan. You can visit the Bethany Plan at bethanyplan.com. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called There Are Bridges All the Way, from American Messenger. A young girl, unaccustomed to traveling, was taking a train ride through the country, and it happened that in the course of the day her train was obliged to cross two branches of a river and several wide streams. The water, seen in advance, always awakened doubts and fears in the child. She did not understand how it could be safely crossed. As they drew near the river, however, a bridge appeared and furnished a way over. Two or three times the experience was repeated, and finally the child leaned back with a long breath of relief and confidence. Somebody has put bridges for us all the way, she said in trusting content. That is life. We fear so many evils, so many troubles look dark ahead, so many difficulties seem insurmountable as they loom before us. But as we advance, we find there is a way through them. God has built bridges for us all the way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths.
I love it, Glenn. Thanks so much. One of my absolute favorite proverbs. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Father Mikhailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception, Ukrainian Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, will discuss how to prepare spiritually for the times that we live in with the Mother of God. Plus, Catholic attorney Andrea Picciotti-Bayer will join us from Washington, D.C. to explain a Maine law that prohibits Catholic families from using state vouchers. It's an important religious freedom case. Stay with us. There's much more conversation to come as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.